at the end of these 5 days, I was the patient. So he worked on me and I was battling a shoulder problem at the time. And I remember getting up off the table and I remember telling my friends, I'm like, my God, my shoulder blade literally feels like it's been stapled to my rib cage. You know, and I had struggled with all kinds of other rehab techniques in an attempt to try to turn on my serratus anterior and work on scapular stabilization. So 5 minutes with Professor Collage, and I knew something was drastically different with my shoulder.
You know, a really good, strong, stable shoulder can tolerate a lot of shit, right? You can have really bad mechanics and get away with it for quite a while.
Right.
If you have the perfect system guarding it.
Hello, and welcome to the Gestalt Performance Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler White. In this interview, you're going to hear from Brett Winchester and myself. So we are the co-founders of the World Pitching Congress. We're the ones kind of putting it all together. You're going to hear mostly from Brett here because you're probably going to get sick of me over the long haul of this whole thing. I'll chime in a little bit. Basically, what we're going to talk about is a little bit about ourselves, mostly about Brett again, some of our previous works and current works, and then what we're going to be bringing to the World Pitching Congress. And just some of the stuff that we have down the line. So without further ado, here are Brett and I.
All right, guys, so here we are. Tyler White here sitting with Brett Winchester. Continuing the interviews for the World Pitching Congress, thought it would make a lot more sense if you heard from us both. We're kind of the ones in charge of putting this all together and making everything happen. What we're going to talk about today is a little bit on why we're holding it, and then some of the similar questions we asked some of our interviewers or some of the interviews in our presentations. Same idea, but coming from the horse's mouth here. So, Brett, do you have anything to say on World Pitching Congress?
I would just say kind of the starting point of this was, like anything, there's a need. It's just like economics. So there's a need and there's not enough supply of this information. So Tyler and I kind of felt that, you know, as we were looking around at other baseball conferences, which there's some good ones out there, that no one was all-encompassing and nobody was looking at the things that we thought were so important for treating the pitching athlete. So the goal, and we're going to continue to work to meet our goals, is to have everyone very, very well represented in this seminar. That way, trainers, pitching coaches, people who are treating the pitchers, all these people have a role to play in the epidemic that we have, which is an alarming amount of our athletes that are needing UCL reconstruction at a very, very young age. And because of that problem, we feel that we have a lot to offer. And that's really the crusade that Tyler and I are after. And to be 100% truthful with you, it's not just Major League Baseball pitchers. It's also, we're wanting to start a movement for the younger group of athletes when we can really start to change, when they start throwing a ball. We believe that throwing things is a primal activity that we should be able to do, and we should be able to stay relatively injury-free through that process. So we think we're well on our way to kind of figuring out what those main factors are. And this weekend is to basically kind of expose those thoughts. Would you agree with that, Tyler?
100%. And like I like what you said about bringing, you know, all these different ideas and people knowledge together, because there are some really good, weekends and events out there as far as baseball and pitching goes, but there hasn't been anything created yet that runs along the same lines of what we're trying to achieve here. We have all these different ideas and experiences and all this different knowledge from different industries coming to speak on the same idea. And I think the cool part is I think that even the presenters will learn a lot from the other people presenting, because it's something they haven't heard or something they didn't think on, or, you know, it's not something they see every day. So it's going to offer a little bit of a different perspective. Throw that in with all the people that are going to be in attendance. It's going to be just a massive collection of minds and learning and trying to basically weed out whatever information we can on improving baseball, whether it's performance or injury or whatever. And I think that I think this year we definitely brought it in terms of speakers and kind of the knowledge being presented. So hopefully we can have a good end product and give everything we got.
Yeah, I think to that point also, what happens a lot of times, especially in the treatment of athletes, is you have a lot of bastardization. So, and what we really want is we want to be better at integrating. So we want to go right to the horse's mouth as far as all of our different techniques. So for DNS baseball, obviously I represent that. We got Ben Hager and PRI. And basically, as Tyler said, we want the best people in the world in their chosen field to be in this room, because we don't want, we don't want people doing a watered down version of whatever it is. We want, to hear from the actual source of the problem. And whether it's strength and conditioning, whether it's orthopedic surgeon George Paletta, whether it's the people that are representing the treatment or strength and conditioning, or like biomechanics, which is what Tyler's so good at, we feel like in those four walls, we feel like, we have the best in the world there. And, with that, we hope to teach people not only, to listen to these talks or these lab sessions, but also to be better at the integration and how all this fits together. And to be honest, since we plan on doing this annually, this is probably going to be, this is an ever-going process that we're on here. And I think the first one is unbelievable. We basically got every single person that we wanted for the initial one. And now we're already kind of talking about that next layer of people for the following years and things like that. And I think it's going to be it's literally going to be special. I can't think of a better word to describe what that weekend's going to be, but just a very special group of people and a special weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, just having that group of people in the same room presenting is a unique situation that not many people have had the opportunity to sit and listen to. I've never been in a room with all those people talking and presenting, especially not only just presenting, but they're demonstrating what they do every day. You know, if we have a strength and conditioning specialist that's in there, using weights and using equipment to show, this is what I'm going to do with this guy because he's got this issue with his shoulder, or I know he's got to prepare for the upcoming season or whatever, right? So you can take that knowledge and idea, and then you can actually demo it there, and people can get their hands dirty and actually see how to do this stuff. It's cool because I think we're going to impact a lot of Major League Baseball teams on how they treat and assess and how they do strength training and all that. We're going to impact a lot of collegiate, from Division I to Division III to NAIA to JUCO. We're going to impact the high school level. We're going to impact the private offices, organizations, whether it's a training facility or someone in like the rehab realm, like a PT or a DC. We're going to be able to give them knowledge on how to assess, what's going to happen, what they need to do, what they can change, and how they can interact with someone else in their network or in their area to better that athlete.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
So I think it's going to be really cool. So let's talk a little bit more. I'm going to let the listeners know a little bit more about yourself. So DNS Baseball, had a lot of experience teaching and presenting all over the world. Tell us a little bit more about your influences. What led you down the path of where you are now? Who influenced you? What resources do you really like to look into or read more about of? And let us know a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, so it all started, I would say, early on in my career, which has been, 20 years now. I was going to hang out with a neurologist by the name of Carol Levitt. And at the time, there was a guy that no one really knew at the time. His name was Pavel Kolosh, who went on to start DNS. And at the end of these 5 days, I was the patient. So he worked on me, and I was battling a shoulder problem at the time. And I remember getting up off the table, and I remember telling my friends, I'm like, my God, my shoulder blade literally feels like it's been stapled to my rib cage. And I had struggled with all kinds of other rehab techniques in an attempt to try to turn on my serratus anterior and work on scapular stabilization. So 5 minutes with Professor Kolosh, and I knew something was drastically different with my shoulder. And so him and I, we established a relationship, and myself with the Prague School. And then when DNS came into existence, then they invited me to be an instructor. And so then I was applying the principles. And I always say, as far as DNS, it's the closest thing to magic in the world of rehabilitation that exists. And so then I was just, you know, out here working with a lot of baseball players. And I always say that, you know, at the time, baseball definitely wasn't one of my favorite sports, but you don't always get to pick your niches. And so anyways, I started really small, as Tyler knows, in Moscow Mills, Missouri. And, you know, because everyone always asked me, like, where, you know, how did you get to the, you know, to the major league level? And the answer is I just started small. So I just started with the Little League programs and the throwing academies that were around me, developed my reputation just by getting really good results. And then what kind of happened was a natural evolution into baseball. So I was with the Cardinals for 3 years. And so that, you know, just by getting good results, that phone call came. And then from the Cardinals gig came now. I mean, I'm talking with, I don't know what the number is now, but a lot of the teams. And they're kind of clamoring for DNS. So now it's just a matter of trying to get it all worked out with my schedule on how we're going to be able to implement DNS into Major League Baseball. But the need is so unbelievable. And I guess what's been really neat for me was you get amazing results by just doing DNS with baseball athletes. There's no refuting that. But then DNS has also given Tyler and I a lot of explanations of why the mechanics aren't 100% ideal. And for those of you who don't know what DNS is basically a grouping of exercises that are 100% based on developmental kinesiology. So what we do is we take the athletes back to the first year of development and we put them in similar positions and we give them the right cues. And the magic of it is the brain has already been there. So the brain basically knows how to use the right muscle synergies around whatever joint we're talking about. Now we're talking about kind of the shoulder and the elbow with baseball. And that is what allows for really good balance around the shoulder. And it kind of also flies in the face of what was traditionally done in baseball, where we had a lot of people, for example, laying on their side and working, you know, excessive amounts of external rotation and things like that. So basically, it's kind of revolutionized how we rehab the baseball athlete. And that's what I'm really, really excited to share. I feel like because I was with one team for a long period of time, I just basically I didn't have the time, nor it was a little bit of a conflict of interest to just kind of say what I've been sitting on for the last 4 years of my life. So I'm excited for the proper stages to let this fly. And I feel really confident in that we're moving closer to our goal, which our goal is basically to have healthy throwers. So if I had to sum up your question, Tyler, I would say as far as DNS baseball and the track that I'm on, I was heavily influenced with by Pavel Kolaj. And of course, along the way, having the lecture with different people throughout the weekends, you cross paths with a lot of different people. So I've been able to hang out with Ron Ruska, who is the inventor of PRI. So obviously Ben Hagar and Ken Crenshaw will be, you know, a good representation of that technique system on that weekend. I feel like there's some differences, but there's also some similarities. So I always look forward to hearing them talk. And I'm excited for the teams that are represented. So the teams that we have represented are the Braves, the Diamondbacks, and the Dodgers, and the Cubs.
And the Cardinals orthopedists. And then the Mariners.
Right.
So Brian DeLone is pitching.
Yeah, strategy. So I mean, yeah. In a, you know, honestly, like if you, from the treatment standpoint, you look at the teams, I think we got the right people in the room. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with any of the other teams by any means, but these are the teams we want to hear for sure. And so yeah, that's I guess that's where I'm at as far as how I got to this point. The neat thing about baseball, you know, a lot of sports you don't have like an epidemic problem. So in baseball and pitching, we have like a major epidemic problem, which is obviously the UCL injury and
a non-contact issue, albeit, right. Yeah.
So we obviously are doing something wrong. And so, but what's interesting, because the surgery's so good, you know, it kind of gets glossed over. So it's almost like not a matter of if you're going to need Tommy John, it's when and should you get it over with early and stuff like that, which is really crazy questions that are being asked right now. You know, I think the better solution would be to try to figure out the actual cause of the problem. And quite honestly, there's many reasons for that, because what's not told to you is not everyone gets back to 100%. There's a failure rate somewhere between that 5 to 7 year mark. There's a 1 in 10,000 risk with anesthetics with any surgery. You could always deal with infection. So it's kind of mistaken to think that you're going in for a procedure that, you know, it's kind of like getting your teeth cleaned or something like that. It's a major surgery. And we have to remove another piece of anatomy to have this surgery go well. So, you know, the Tommy John has saved many, many, many baseball players, you know, in the last 30 or 40 years. We want to be sure we've properly vetted the athletes out. We want to do whatever we can to not have to have future athletes go through that. And I think the underrated thing of our seminar, Tyler, is having George Paletta there. I've been fortunate enough to work side by side with him for 3 years when I was with the Cardinals. And I know we're not on either one of the coasts, so it's kind of hard to be a legend in the Midwest. But I've seen that guy do more amazing things. And him and I have had some amazing conversations about Tommy John surgery, and he just has an unbelievable amount of insight because he worked extensively with Allcheck with the Mets, who's one of the big people performing the Tommy Johns besides George and Alitrosh. So I think we're well loaded for the weekend as far as like every area being represented well.
Yeah, no, it's going to be really cool. I think along the same lines as talking about Paletta is, you know, he does get credit for the Seth Maness, right? You know, it was the Tommy John. Now it's like, hey, he did the first professional athlete internal brace surgery. We're going to see more and more of those, I think, as we figure more about it, out about the surgery and the outcomes and how quick it is to come back. And it is dependent on several variables, but I think he's definitely a pioneer when it comes to that. And the more that we learn from his side of the equation makes our lives a little bit easier, because we can understand kind of what he sees and kind of the responses he expects. And then we can kind of help dictate that, whether you're on the strength and conditioning side or if you're on the medical side or you're on the performance side. All of these factors matter, and having his influence there is going to be a really big part of it as well.
Well, and I think the other thing too, which this is more down your alley, Tyler, but you know, when someone doesn't have the right stereotype for pitching, I think the elephant in the room is, do we make a change on them? When would you make a change? things like that, because I can tell you at the major league level, the MO is you better not change a thing on them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's actually a little bit plastic and needs to be changed and a little bit more dynamic. I think when you get to that level, they're the ones who have the neurology to make a change. So I think we need to not be so close-minded, and we have to be smart about the timing of when you would start to alter some of the mechanics.
Yes.
But I'm excited too. I feel like Tyler White's probably the person in baseball that more people need to know about. He's just so good at what he does. So when the world finds out how good he is, it's gonna be amazing. So I think that'll also be a good platform for you to kind of talk about some of the things that, you know, we've been talking about behind the scenes that the world doesn't really know about. That being mechanics, that being ways to objectify the information of, you know, what a pitcher's doing. And then more importantly, it doesn't matter if you gather information if you don't have a use for it. So the next 5 to 10 years really need to be about, okay, so this is what we found on the Rapsodo or the force plate, and this is what you do to make a change on that information. And that's selfishly one thing I really want this conference to not shy away from. Like, let's expose it. Let's see what's working, what's not working, and all be honest with each other. And I think that'll be another added benefit of the seminar.
When you say Tyler White, you mean the first baseman / corner outfielder for the Dodgers?
Yeah, I didn't mean you.
Yeah, can't wait for him to take off. I appreciate that. Those are very kind words. It's exactly the case. Like, I look at this as being everything that an individual should shoot for as far as understanding and knowledge, right? Like, you see the all-encompassing, or someone that understands more than just their path, right? So someone that can understand how to read a force plate technology and what that those forces are telling us, and understanding how to do 3D motion capture and what that means. If you find something on that, you know, getting your hands into the shoulder, stabilizing, doing some myofascial / soft tissue manipulation or joint manipulation if you have the licensing to do some of that stuff, or just, you know, if you're strength and conditioning, you know how to strengthen certain areas so that you can make changes on what you find on some of these assessment type tools, whether it's 3D motion capture, force plate technology, regular, you know, movement assessment type stuff or screens, whatnot. And then being able to make that implement on the mound or in the bullpen, right? So that's really the grand goal. Like you said, we don't see many mechanical changes at the professional level, when in all reality, these are the neurologic elite. Like, these are the guys that can do it probably the easiest, even though they've had repetition after repetition after repetition. They have the ability to feel that difference, when not many individuals have as much of a tactile sensation that they have, or the proprioception that they have. So being able to take that information, helping them make changes, you know, also understanding some of the motor control and skill acquisition components. We got Rob Gray going to be presenting as well. He's kind of one of the top guys in that right now. So everything's covered. Everything is covered. We really didn't leave many stones unturned
for this. No, I think too, like, exposing, like, the research I've been looking at a lot lately. I had a presentation in Prague where I had to talk about this on cueing, where, let's say you see something you don't like in the pitching delivery, how, at least in the world of sprinting, how giving an external cue or an internal cue, and they had a control who got no cue, actually the no cue outperformed the other two. So that we shouldn't get upset about that. We just need to know what to do with that information and realize that, you know, we have to be careful what we tell our pitching athletes, because if we give them the wrong cues, it can also be just as destructive, you know. And I think, too, like, when you're out in a game situation, no cues then. It's hard enough to play baseball. So, like, that's your time to just go out and do your thing and keep your mind clear. But in the training situation or off-season or bullpens, things like that, that's where we can really start to play around and work, you know, work with these different thoughts. And we have a way to objectify it now. And it's really going to be an exciting time for the world of pitching in the next 5 to 10 years. We had a great conversation with the Blue strength and conditioning guy recently, who's, maybe you can talk about his background, but he's got a great background in force plate. And I think he's going to have a lot to offer for our movement going forward.
Yeah, Eric Renahan, he's a stud. So he has a huge cache of knowledge when it comes to understanding force plate, basically how to use it, how to understand the reading, how to train around it, what it means for this guy. Is he, you know, at a deficit when it comes to strength or stability or fatigue or, you know, all that kind of stuff? He knows a lot more than I think he lets on. Right. And he could have a massive impact in baseball in the future, just from the correlations of kind of the between the hockey slap shot and, you know, pitching and throwing and hitting, and just how much of that using the kinetic chain and sequencing and all that. There's going to be a lot of carryover, and he definitely knows his stuff, and I think he could definitely make a pretty big impact in baseball for a team or an organization or whatever.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So I'm excited to see kind of, you know, as his next few phases in life, whether, you know, he sticks into hockey or if he transitions more into, like, baseball, I think he could definitely be a pretty big influencer for sure. And that's information that teams want. They want that. And, you know, I think he's got it, so.
That, too. I mean, that thought is something I've thought about for, you know, the last 5 to 10 years of my life is, could a force plate, for example, be one way to objectify whether or not fatigue is a component of the kinetic chain? So if, you know, as you've thrown 80 pitches, you know, are you starting to break down with the information coming off the force plate, meaning you're putting less force into the earth? This may get us a little bit closer to, or get us away from thinking just everybody has a 100 pitch count, which, if you think about it, it's kind of ridiculous because everybody's going to have a difference there. But no one's been confident or certain enough to say, or to do the research on, like, you know, this particular pitcher, 60 pitches is kind of his capacity versus, you know, someone else can throw 120 pitches and they're fine. So that may be a way that we start to tap into capacity to know what people's pitch count is instead of having an arbitrary number, that being 100, which if you just take a step back, doesn't make that much sense, really.
Yeah, no, I mean, everyone pitches slightly differently. That's going to change the stressors at certain joints and the muscle activation and all that. Pitching schedules are different. Starters go different from bullpen guys. Of course, the bullpen guys, you're not going to worry about the 100 pitches, but you do have to consider something in terms of how many pitches they throw per how many days per week, warm-ups. We aren't measuring hardly at all the throws that are made before the game, you know?
Right.
There's a lot going on there as well, or the days prior. That needs to be monitored as well. And you know, development's different. Strength is different. To say each person has kind of like a 10 plus or minus pitch window at the 100 mark doesn't make hardly any sense.
Right.
But, you know, along the same lines, it's interesting that, you know, a really good, strong, stable shoulder can tolerate a lot of shit, right? You can have really bad mechanics and get away with it for quite a while.
Right.
If you have the perfect system guarding it.
Yeah, no, that's a great point that I meant to mention earlier and I did not. So another tool we have is, let's say someone's in the wrong stereotype, which, I mean, we see a lot. So then instead of necessarily needing to make a change, option B is to create the perfect environment of stabilization or joint mobility around that situation to hope they're, you know, they can get through their baseball career without requiring a medical procedure. So that definitely applies to the people who perhaps, you know, either they don't want to make a change or they don't feel, you know, comfortable making a change, things like that. Because at the end of the day, I know Tyler and I have talked about this. You know, if you're making $20 million a year, you can go have your Tommy John surgery and continue on down that path. Then, you know, what, you know, who are we to tell you not to do that? You know, so
it's tough.
You know, so I mean, and again, the problem is the surgery's so good is one of the problems is because, you know, the athletes can come back. So that's a good thing. We just need to know what that all means in the grand scheme of things.
That, and they have world-class rehab. You know, you're looking at the major league level who they're getting it constantly as far as their rehab for you know, return to play.
Right.
It's not always that case for high school and college pitchers. So it's like, you know, you hear people say, let's just get it out of the way now. It's like, ooh. Yeah. Oh, man.
Think about it, major league level, too. You know, you get put on a 15-day DL, you have 2 weeks of rest and therapy. Very rarely at younger ages does that seem reasonable to anybody, which is really funny.
That's, you know, a quarter, like, of the season. You can't take that off.
No. So, I mean, it's kind of just ironic that that's how we handle our athletes. But
so real quick, where do we see the game going? Where do you see kind of your position in the game? Where do you see the structure of the game, the principles of the game, where's it going?
I think the game continues to head down this scientific route that it's going. I think, like any pendulum, you're going to probably see it swing too far. Maybe it's already there. And then, you know, so the data and analytics, it's all really, really important. But at the end of the day, you have to do something with that information. So I think in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years, I know Tyler and I, our goal is to give people options on how to change that data. And I think I think we make a big change in it, because think about it, in the shoulder, you know, there's less reported shoulder injuries now in Major League Baseball than there was 10 years ago. So all the prehab and rehab that got done for the shoulder actually did make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so that tells me that in the elbow, we can make a big difference there. And then just to compare it to the ACL injury of the knee, we know that if people do the right things for ACL tear prevention, then we can definitely change the, you know, the trajectory of those athletes. So there's no reason why we can't change the trajectory of the baseball athletes. So yeah, I think baseball's in a good place. I know they're struggling a little bit with the people going to the games, but I don't know, being around baseball, I think people, there's still a movement to people love baseball in America, so.
Yep, and I think I agree with you along those lines of we're going to see more of the performance therapist. You know, it's someone that has their degree in physical therapy or chiropractic, or they are a strength and conditioning specialist, but they also understand biomechanics and pitching mechanics, and they also understand a little bit on the psychology of things, and they understand on skill acquisition, motor control. They can apply all these things, right? It's not just, here's what you do, stay in your lane. I think everyone needs to know a little bit, because you're going to have different roles as far as an organization or whatever, but you need to be able to speak the same language. That language difference needs to totally change. Right. I think we're going to see more of that. So I'm excited for it.
Me too.
So, all right. Well, unfortunately, we got to get back to the clinic. We got to see patients. We got to get rolling here. Maybe a round two or a part two later on if we got a little bit more time and got some more stuff we want to get off our chest. But anyway, you got any parting thoughts on your end
before? No, looking forward to hopefully everybody can make it. I think it's a good weekend for everybody as far as timing, as long as the weather holds out. But there'll be a lot of social interactions that I think that's what we haven't talked about also. I mean, that's where you learn all the good stuff is behind the scenes over some gin and tonics.
There so, it is. Yeah. Yep. Okay, guys. Well, remember, save the date, January 17th through 19th, 2020. It's here in St. Louis, Missouri. If you're interested at all in working in baseball or with pitchers, whether you're a physical therapist, chiropractor, strength coach, pitching coach, pitching coordinator, whatever, it would be smart to be here, because this is going to be a first of its kind event, and we're very excited about it, and we hope to see you there.
So there you have it. We got cut a little short on time. We might do a part two. We'll see. But anyway, if you're wanting to know more about or learn more about the World Pitching Congress, go to www.gestaltperformance.com/world-pitching-congress, or you can just look for it on our site. It's pretty self-explanatory. Would love to have you there. It's going to be a fantastic event. The speakers are next to none. The expected audience is going to be fantastic. We're going to have quite an opportunity to learn and to network and to grow and just to get better about working with pitchers specifically. So yeah, we look forward to seeing you there. If you're a player or coach and you're looking for a more efficient way to warm up, check out our free dynamic warm-up ebook. This warm-up consists of evidence-based movements revolved around neuromuscular stability and fascial slings. You can download it off of our website, or just go to the Gestalt Performance Twitter page and follow the link.